All right, well, I'm a little out of sorts this week too, because I was planning on giving, you know, a 5-10 minute devotional, and we were going to head out to the park and do some work. So we're done with our series that we finished up last week, and so we've come up with just kind of a one-off sermon here. But I think it's one we all probably need to hear, especially for this time. For this time of year for us. So we're going to jump into just a one-off message. It'll be in James, and it's called Taming the Tongue. So have you ever said something before that you immediately just wanted to take back? Only two of you, huh? Yeah. I know it's a little slim this morning, but there's more than two of you out there, right? Yeah. Like, maybe like as soon as it left your mouth, you almost tried to catch it and swallow it back in, right? It was that quick. Like, I should not have said that. If you're anything like me, I'm sure you've wanted to take back more than a few words that you've said over the course of your life. Maybe you said something hurtful directly to someone and you regret it. Or maybe you said something the wrong way. It wasn't intentionally meant to hurt someone. It came out wrong. Right, but it still hurt him anyway. Or maybe you've said something that made its way back to the person that you were talking about. Ever happen? Oof, that's a rough feeling, right? Or maybe, and possibly the worst, you've said something hurtful about someone and didn't realize they were within an earshot. Oof, yeah, that's awful. What a horrible feeling, right? We say things sometimes just so flippantly and carelessly, and we wish we could take them back. Whatever the situation is, we all have said things that we wish we hadn't. As a child, I'm sure you heard your parents say something to the effect of, you better watch your mouth. Anybody ever hear that as a kid? Yeah. We know. Yeah, Austin, I believe that with my entire heart. I don't think there's been, we might not hear anything more true than that this morning. Just kidding. When a parent says, you better watch your mouth, they really mean, you better shut your mouth, right? If you know what's good, you'll stop talking. We all know that old saying, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That saying, I think, had to become a thing for somebody trying to shake off the sting of words. The reality is that words do hurt people, and sometimes even worse than being physically hurt. You can only hurt so long from being hit with a stick or from a rock, right? Eventually that wound is going to heal, that pain's going to go away, and you're going to forget that it ever happened. But when we're hurt with the words of others, we can carry that forever. There isn't Neosporin and a Band-Aid that's going to fix pain that a word might have done to you, and you're magically healed. Words can cause some of the deepest pain that we'll ever feel in this life. The good news is, words are not all bad, right? Words can be used for good just as much as they can be used for bad. Words impact everyone. They're everywhere. Even though they're small, they're incredibly powerful. And words are powerful because they have the ability to shape thoughts and influence emotions and drive actions, and they can build up or they can tear down. They can create understanding or they can sow confusion. They can foster connection or division. Through words, we can communicate our deepest beliefs and intentions and feelings, and they can shape the way we interact with others and with the world around us. So whether spoken or written, words carry the potential to inspire and heal and transform lives, making them one of the most potent tools that we have access to. In fact, the Bible says a lot about the tongue and the words that we speak. And today we're going to be looking specifically in chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, where James offers this strong warning about the potential of our words to direct and destroy and to reveal the conditions of our hearts. So as we explore this passage today, I hope you'll see how crucial it is to tame our tongues. We'll first discover how the words that we use have the power to steer the course of lives of not just our lives, but other lives. And then we'll confront the reality of the destructiveness of words, or how they can be destructive and capable of causing harm and hurt. And then we'll consider how our words reveal the inner state of our being, of our hearts, of our spirituality. So my prayer is that as we go through this message, we'll all be challenged to examine our speech and seek God's help in using our words to reflect His love and His grace and His truth to the world around us, especially in our specific context. I'm not sure if you've heard or not, but there is an election coming up. You guys know about the groans, right? Ugh. It's easy to fall into the trap of using our words for division in this season especially. My hope is that this passage will serve as a reminder for us in this time. This isn't all going to be about politics. Some of it is, though, so buckle up. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, it says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." So, James 3, verses 1 through 12 emphasizes this immense power of our words to direct lives and destroy relationships and also reveal the condition of our hearts. So by reflecting on this biblical imagery as the tongue as a rudder or a fire and a spring, we are called to be intentional with our speech, right? James is telling us this is not just something that doesn't matter. Our speech matters. We should be using our words to uplift and guide others towards Christ. We're challenged to seek healing where words have caused harm and to align our hearts with God's will so that when we reflect His love and His truth and His grace with our speech. So as we dive into this passage, we're going to look at three powers of the tongue. Three powers that the tongue has. The first one is the tongue has power to direct. The tongue has power to direct. In verses 3 and 4, it says, "When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go." So James begins this passage by illustrating the tongue's power with two vivid examples, a bit in a horse's mouth and the rudder on a ship. And though both of these things are very small, right? It's a small bit in the horse's mouth, but you can steer the horse with it. Or the rudder of a ship, it's one of the smallest parts on the ship, but it steers the entire thing. They have the ability to control something much larger. In the same way, our tongues, though they're very small, a small part of our body, have the power to steer the course of our lives and the lives of those around us. The words we speak can set the direction of our relationships, of our personal growth, and even our spiritual journey. Just as a slight movement of a rudder can change the ship's entire course, a single word can influence the trajectory of a person's life, whether that be for good or for bad. So words can direct people in the right or wrong direction. A funny example I saw of this is a meme I saw a few years ago, and it's on your screen. It's essentially, if you can't read it, it's about a wife telling her husband to go to the grocery store. It says, the wife says to the husband, could you please go to the store and get a carton of milk? And if they have avocados, get six. The husband comes back with six cartons of milk and says, they had avocados, right? It's what we tell people and how we say it matters. If you don't get it, you'll get it later, right? Or you're just like, that's not funny. Either way, what we tell people and how we say it matters. There's a power that we have when we are directing with words. This power to direct should not be taken lightly. We often underestimate the impact of our words and thinking that what we say in the moment may not have these lasting consequences. But take raising kids for an example. If a child is constantly told that they're annoying and that they mess everything up and that they're really messy and unorganized, they're probably going to be a messy, unorganized, annoying adult that messes everything up. Right? Because our words have a lasting impact. If you're told something a lot, you're eventually going to believe it. I would venture to say that some of you as adults in this room are still carrying and struggling with things that you were labeled as a child. Like I said before, words can direct in the right or wrong direction. Scripture reminds us that these words have power to influence decisions and shape perceptions and really even alter the future. As followers of Christ, we are called to use our words intentionally, guiding others towards truth, towards love, towards righteousness. Whether it's encouraging someone in their faith or speaking wisdom in a difficult situation or simply offering a kind word, our speech has the potential to lead others closer to God or, conversely, away from God. So we must ask ourselves, what are we using our words for? Are we using our words to guide others in the right direction, or are we carelessly steering them off course? Or, in the context of this election season, are we using the words that we are putting out into the world to direct people toward Jesus or to direct people toward fear-mongering media companies? Are we directing people to Jesus with our words or to our candidate of choice? The words we say as a Christ follower matter. The second thing that the tongue has the power to do is to destroy. The tongue has the power to destroy. This is verses 5 through 8. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. Isn't this fun? You guys having fun? You're probably having more fun than I am. Don't shoot the messenger, right? That's true. James continues by painting a sobering picture, right? The tongue's potential for destruction. He compares it to a spark that sets a forest on fire, illustrating how easily something seemingly significant that or insignificant that we say can have devastating consequences. He describes the tongue as a world of evil capable of corrupting the whole body, setting the course of one's life on fire, and even being itself set on fire by hell. This imagery underscores the destructive power of words. In moments of anger or frustration or carelessness, we can speak words that inflict deep wounds and damage relationships and cause lasting pain. We'll stay on this politics wagon for one more illustration. When was the last time you saw a political ad or even a news segment that was building up a candidate. An opposite candidate. There we go. Never, right? Never. I've never seen one. I don't know if I've ever seen it happen in my entire life. In fact, there are whole media corporations who are making billions of dollars by selling words of division and fear. And sure enough, we are a country that is depressed and anxious and divided, right? Because the words we take in from the media are words of destruction. It probably wouldn't make any money, but I would love to see a cable news network where they didn't share any bad news, right? They only just built people up. They talked about all the good things happening, and they used language that would lead people towards truth and righteousness. Again, there's no money to be made there, right? So it's not going to happen. But wouldn't that be great to have a channel to flip to every once in a while that wasn't just constantly pumping fear and division to us? Man, people aren't the enemy, folks. No matter what something says on TV, that's a lie from Satan. So here's another angle of this situation. The destructive potential of the tongue is not limited to the harm that it causes others, right? The destructive potential also, it's pointed at us. It reflects the inner corruption of the one who speaks. And James makes it clear that the tongue is restless and full of deadly poison, and highlighting how difficult it is to tame. And this should scare us, right? This should bring us to humility and caution. Every word we speak carries weight. And once spoken, can't be taken back, right? No matter how much we wish it could be, it can't be taken back. And so the pain caused by harsh, critical, and deceitful words can linger for years, impacting not only the one who hears them, but the one who speaks them. This should call us to repentance and to a renewed commitment to use our words wisely. We should be striving to speak in ways that heal and build up rather than destroy. It's so easy to tear others down and spread division because you fit right in with the rest of the world, right? We hear it all the time. It's a real easy trap to fall into. But it's so much more rewarding and so much more worthwhile to build others up with our words. All right, that takes us to the third one. You guys, you still with it? It's so quiet in here. Maybe it's conviction. I don't know. Yeah, that's true. Good point, Austin. You guys are all, you're all listening, right? Tame the tongues. We're not speaking. We're being slow to speak. I'm good. All right. The third thing, the tongue has the power to reveal. This one's not really any more comfortable. So here we go. Verses 9 through 12. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So in this final section of this passage, James challenges us to consider what our words reveal about the state of our own hearts. He points out the inconsistency of using the same tongue to praise God as we would to curse those made in the image of God. This contradiction is likened to a spring that produces both fresh and salt water, or a fig tree that bears olives. Such things should not be possible, and yet in our fallen nature, we find ourselves speaking both blessings and curses. So this duality of speech reveals this deeper issue. Our words are a reflection of what is truly in our hearts. This was never how God intended it to be, right? We weren't meant to live in this duality. You think back to creation and before sin entered the world, this wasn't how our hearts were supposed to function. We were never meant to be able to speak blessings and curses from the same source. So that's why we feel like we're being eaten up inside sometimes. You ever feel that? It's because it wasn't supposed to be this way. It's a constant struggle. This is all the more proof that we need to submit our hearts and our minds and our speech to God every day. The inconsistency that James highlights serves as a call to examine ourselves. What do our words say about us? If our speech is filled with negativity and criticism and deceit, it indicates that our hearts are not fully aligned with God's will. Luke 6:45 says, "From the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks." So on the other hand, if our words are kind and truthful and uplifting, they reflect a heart that's being transformed by the Holy Spirit. We cannot produce good fruit from a bad tree, and we cannot consistently speak good words from a corrupt heart. Therefore, the transformation of our speech must begin with the transformation of our hearts. Right? It's a source issue. It's not just a speech issue. We must seek God's help in renewing our minds and our hearts so that we naturally, right, our words will naturally flow from that place of love and truth and grace. So as we wrap up today, I want to just encourage us to reflect on the heart of today's passage. The power of our words is real. Our tongues can direct the course of lives. They can destroy relationships, and they can reveal the true condition of our hearts. James's words challenge us not just to hear this truth, but to actively apply it into our daily lives. So the question we need to ask ourselves as we leave today is, how will we use our words to glorify God and build up others this week? First, I've got four things. I hate it when pastors do this. I'm sorry. I said, as we wrap up, I still have like another page and a half. So let's just settle back in a second. I got four applications here. I'm a hypocrite right now. I know it. I'm calling myself out. So as we leave, first thing, let's commit to being intentional with our words. Take time each day this week and pause before you speak, especially in moments of frustration or stress. Right? That's a good time to not say something, right? When you feel yourself tense up, just quiet down and think a second. Ask yourself, will what I'm about to say bring life or harm? Will it guide someone towards God or away from Him? By pausing to reflect, we can prevent careless words that might otherwise cause damage. You might even consider setting a reminder on your phone or placing a sticky note somewhere visible with the words, "Watch your mouth," or "Tame your tongue." This is remind yourself of this commitment throughout the day. Second, seek opportunities to speak words of encouragement and blessing. This week, make it a point to intentionally uplift at least one person each day. Whether it's a kind word to a family member, or a note of encouragement to a coworker, or a message of appreciation to a friend, these small acts of kind words can have profound impacts. So as you do this, remember that your words, when led by the Holy Spirit, have the power to steer others in the right direction. Use that power to guide them toward hope and love and the truth of God's word. We can't physically be out serving today, but this is a way you can serve God, is through these words of encouragement to others this week. Third, if you've hurt someone with your words in the past, look for an opportunity for healing. Reach out to those whom you may have wounded with careless or harmful words and apologize. Sincerely make amends. Healing begins with humility and honesty. By taking this step, you not only repair the damage done, but also you align your heart more closely with the heart of God, who is calling us to be peacemakers. And then last, let's focus on the condition of our hearts. Remember, our words are a reflection of what's inside. Spending time in prayer and meditating on God's word, asking the Holy Spirit to purify our hearts and minds. Consider starting or ending your day with a simple prayer from Psalm 19:14. "Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight." As God transforms your heart, your words will naturally begin to reflect his love and grace and truth more consistently. So as we go into the week ahead, let us be mindful of the power of our words. Let's use our words to build up and encourage and guide others towards Christ. Let us seek healing where there's been hurt and allow God to continue His transforming work in our hearts. As we do, may our speech become a living testimony to the power of God's love at work within us. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank You. We thank You for the power of words. God, help us to take that responsibility seriously. You've given us freedom. You've given us freedom to speak and think and act and do. And we just help us to realize the weight that that carries. Help us to be people that build up and encourage others. God, if we've hurt people, help us to see that and know that and look for opportunities to make amends. And God, as this division and fear and everything wrapped into this election ramps up, help us not to get caught up in that junk. God, help us to spread words of encouragement and unity and truth while the world is spreading division and fear. God, our words matter so much. I pray for those who have been hurt by words today. God, I would ask that they would find their value and their identity in You, in the words of Your truth. God, just help us to tame our tongues. Help us to take what we say seriously and help us to be people that speak truth and life and grace into others. Give us the boldness and the courage to be different, to not fall into the trap, to spread words of encouragement this week. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our worship team is going to sing a song this morning. Our altars here are always open. If you feel like God's been speaking to you this morning and you need to respond, it's a great place to do it. Would you stand and sing with us and use this time to reflect and worship?